This season of The Next Step is made possible through a grant provided by Garo and Laura Artinian of Sydney, Australia, in memory of George Samarjan, and by listeners like you. Donate at epostle.net.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries. Welcome to our seventh year of broadcasting on epostle.net. We welcome you and thank you for making The Next Step with Father Vazgen the premier listening experience about spirituality through Orthodoxy. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. These shows are produced every week at epostle.net for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step. So come on, I have a whisper. I have a fight and a drum to play. Get ready for the whisper. I was on the lawn on the seventh day.
Hey, this is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 319, the first one of the seventh year of The Next Step. Hey, this is a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about bringing it all together and making sense out of this world, of our being, of who we are, why we're here, our purpose, and our direction. This is a podcast that is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. And if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Hello and welcome to year 7 of the next step. And whether you're running, crawling, or walking, whatever the case may be, just glad that you're with us today. We are broadcasting from Epostle West, the Glendale studio. Beautiful day outside, kind of like a mellow day, but not so in the world. And how appropriate it is that we kick off this seventh year, because we're all about bringing peace, a lasting peace. And certainly when you look at the news throughout the world today, specifically, you're reading about things that are happening in Israel, with the Palestinians. You're reading about issues that are taking place still in Syria, in Iraq. And just this morning, a Malaysian airline passenger jet, which crashed in the Ukraine. Just the tragedies are all around, and you say, well, what are you doing about this? Well, I don't know what we can do about it, but I do know something. We can start thinking about and dreaming about peace, and those dreams become reality. It was just a dream that we had just back in 2008 that we would go beyond our physical limitations. We are in a small little church in Glendale and just packed house all the time. And we said, well, we need to go beyond what we can do over here. And we started off with a small little dream. Here we are 7 years later and being heard on 6 continents. I just got back from an incredible journey, pilgrimage in Armenia. I'm going to be telling you all about it. It sets the pace for our year 7. But something really interesting happened. I was walking out. It was the last day I was there, and we were walking out of the hotel, and somebody calls out, hey, Father Vazgen. And usually when I hear that, you know, it's like, time to duck. You don't know what they're going to say to you. And there was a lovely lady over there with her husband, and she said, are you Der Vazgen? And I said, yes, I am. Now, not sure if they're going to be slapping me with some kind of suit or what they're going to be doing, you know, if a subpoena's in their hand. But I was in Armenia, so I figured it was okay. And she goes, I'm a listener from Australia. Talin was her name, and she said, Your friend Upgar has gotten me hooked on the next step. And I don't know if that's exactly the words that she used, but, you know, it's close enough, you know. It was just so incredible that in Armenia you're meeting people that are listening to you. And certainly throughout the time in Armenia, I've been getting so many people that have been hooking up. This happened in Etchmiadzin, of all places. It was the first week we were in Armenia. They had the meeting of the Brotherhood and the Vartabeds, the teachers of the church. During the service, one of them comes up to me and says, "You're Father Varskin, aren't you?" I go, "Yeah." And again, you know, you got to be worried. What are these people with the hoods going to tell you? And he says, "I listen to you every week. Thank you very much." And so the little dream that we had about being out there and now seeing this reality of here we are on the seventh year of the next step, providing a broadcast, providing some information, some spirituality to this world. And I'm beginning the broadcast with that today because it's all about dreams and making them happen. You know, you read about so much tragedy in the world, and certainly tragedy is not confined to those global situations. Certainly there are enough tragedies in our own lives, whether it's health issues, it's relationship issues, or whatever they may be, financial issues. And it's really focusing in on that dream. Can you dream of something better? Can you dream of peace? Can you dream of a world where love becomes the means by which we resolve our situations? Sure, it sounds pie in the sky. It sounds like, wow, is it possible? But I do believe it's possible. And I'm even more convinced of it today than ever I've been in my entire life. And that's because I just returned from a pilgrimage to a most incredible land. It was a pilgrimage to the holiest of all lands. And I know when we say that, your mind goes to certain places, but let me tell you where the holiest of all lands are. It's that land around Mount Ararat. Yes, it is called the cradle of civilization. It is there where everything began. And so it is the cradle. And we went to some of the most incredible spots around Ararat. We visited the Republic of Armenia. We visited Nagorno-Karabakh, Artsakh. And we visited the historic Armenian lands on the other side, on the western side of Mount Ararat, and had a chance to go to Kars, Ani, Erzurum, Mush, Van. And I got to tell you, between those three spots, between Armenia, Artsakh, and historic Armenia, I believe that I got a rejuvenation. I got a special shot in the arm that just says, okay, there is some good stuff out there. Keep dreaming. You want to see peace? Just dream about peace, and you can make peace happen. And where's the proof of that? Well, look at that. Here is a land that we visited. It is landlocked, like there's no oceans, there's no way of getting there by sea. Here is a land that is at the crossroads of three major continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. Here is a land that has been raped and pillaged, along with its people, to not only wars, but to the tune of genocide. Okay? And here we find a group of people that has not only survived, despite not having any big military might, right? Not only survived, but has prospered, that has taken the dirt and changed it into grass, that has taken the darkness and changed it into light, that has taken the filth and turned it into things of beauty. And I know, there's governments that are involved, right? And so, obviously, people are involved and there's best interests, much like what we're seeing in the rest of the world, so too in Armenia, right? We're seeing that there are difficulties. It's not the panacea that we think it is. It's not the utopia, but it is a hope. And that word hope comes from the spiritual realm. You see, for all of our problems, we keep looking for political solutions. We keep looking for armies and militaries to solve our problems. It's like saying, how do you fight fire with fire? No, you don't. You fight fire with water. You don't fight fire with fire. You fight it with water. And we need to start developing a language. And that language comes to us from the spiritual realm, from the spiritual world. And I think this is the power of Armenia. When you sit there and you look at all the tragedies, including genocide, that has taken place in Armenia, and you realize that there are people that have not only survived, but have continued and prospered, gone from crucifixion to resurrection and then to ascension, you realize that there is a possibility also for each and every one of us. And there is a key. In Armenia, the key is there. You look there. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the hope, about the dream. And with that hope, of course, is the faith and the love. And let me tell you, faith, hope, and love, those are the big key issues. And they're not just something that we just throw out and say haphazardly, you have to have faith, hope, and love. No. They are ways of life. And that's what I think, and I'm positive now, has been the strength of a group of people, of a place, of a land, of a culture that has gone from crucifixion to resurrection to ascension. It comes from the inner workings of our being and is then made manifest. It's revealed in our lives.
Without going out of my door, I can know all things on earth. Without looking out of my window, I can know the ways of heaven. The farther one travels, the less one knows. The less one really knows.
So I start off my seventh year of podcasting and this seventh year of the next step with a commitment to that faith and hope and love. And I firmly believe that if we can tap into that, we have answers that are not only the solutions to our difficulties, to our private inner struggles, whether they are health issues, relationship issues, financial issues, whatever they may be, the worries that prevent us from getting that solid night of sleep, to the solutions that can bring lasting peace in this world. Hey, listen, you've tried everything else. You've tried the politics. You've tried the military. It's about time to combat fire with water and put it out. We are going to continue on the tradition of having a song every week. And today I'm picking out something very, very special. I know, we've been to Armenia, we've seen all kinds of beautiful things over there, and it would be appropriate to hit you with an Armenian song. And I'm going to do that. It's not an Armenian song per se, but it is something that is created by a genius, by a man named Batsini. And it is his devil's dance. And the reason why I picked this, because you're going to hear a beautiful rendition of it. When you listen to it, you realize there is so much power in the arts, so much power in beauty. And here we're going to hear a performer, Maxim Vengerov, performing an incredible piece called La Ronda de Luntis. And in so doing, I want you to, well, if you have to, close your eyes, unless, of course, you're driving. Don't do this if you're driving, okay? But just listen to the way he articulates the notes. You're going to, and this is why I'm selecting this to kick off our seventh year, because he's playing some impossible notes, which are called harmonics. Basically, they're not on the violin. They're beyond the strings of the violin. He's not only going to be bowing, but at the same time, if you listen very carefully, he'll be plucking pizzicato as well. An incredible rendition of this piece by Batsini. Thank you. Maxime Vengerov performing La Ronde des Lutins translates as The Dance of the Goblins by Bazzini. That's the impossible being made possible. And that's what we're about over here. Can we make it possible? Can we find peace? Can we find inner peace, outer peace? Can we find world peace in seemingly impossible manners? In other words, can we nurture the soul, nurture the spirit, in manners that will bring about peace, that will allow us to have a love life, a life that is full of love and no sorrow? Yeah, I know. It's pie in the sky. Can it happen? Well, we don't see it in human history, but maybe we're not dialoguing in the proper manner. Maybe we're not talking about the things that we should be talking. Certainly when Jesus comes and talks about finding peace. He says, the peace that I give you is not of this world, but a peace that comes from me, that comes from all of eternity, that comes from God. Isn't that the peace that we're all seeking? Isn't that the peace that we would welcome in this world? Particularly when we have people around the world blowing up each other, young children dying daily. And you know, as a priest, one of the most tragic things that I do is having to officiate at services for children. And yet, at each of those services that I do, I can't help but think of the millions of kids that have died unnecessarily because of famine brought about by people's greed, because of wars brought about by interests of parties and politics. I mean, the time has come right now, and it is right now, for us to start thinking about things that really we can control. And that control begins by taking control of our own lives and realizing that we can bring about peace in this world. It's not just a dream. It's a dream that you wake up from and you say, okay, what's my role in this? Yeah, it's overwhelming. You see the politics in the world. You see the fighting in the world. It's overwhelming. What can you do about it? Well, the small things. And these aren't just one-liners that we throw out on Facebook or on Twitter. These are real, actual ways of living, faith, hope, and love. We were at the island of Ahtamar at Lake Van. This is now in present Turkey, part of historic Armenia. You walk into this church, the Holy Cross Church, and all around you are Armenian writings, Armenian frescoes, and it's void of Armenians right now. And we were a group of 25 of us that went into that sanctuary, and we offered a prayer. We offered a prayer for the past, for the future, and we recited the Nicene Creed. We believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and of course in the church, the body of Christ right now. The body of Christ that is not an institution, but is a reality. The body that can heal. The body that was touched by the woman who was bleeding and was instantly healed. And we offered this prayer inside of that sanctuary. And all of a sudden, a Turkish guard came up and he was wearing a gun. And he said, okay, it's enough. And, you know, you've got to respect it. It is in their land. There's something that hurts you. It is your sanctuary, but it is on their land. And that was a really important moment for me, because as much as we talk about these beautiful concepts, faith, hope, and love, as much as we talk about nurturing the spirit, you have to realize that we do live in a world that is run by guns, that is run by might. And so how can we overcome that might? And we saw it there. We saw it in Armenia. And this is a small little area of land in the world, much like the heart is inside the body, a very small little area that beats, that has rhythm to it, and not only survives, but like I said, it moves forward. And can we take that example and present it to the world? Can we take what the secret is over there and present it to a world that is in dire need of it? I mean, we kept on going. My good friend Gregory Baylarian was with me on this trip. He was documenting it. And we went from one place to the next. And every place we said, oh, can't get any better than this. And it would. Every single day was a building on of what we had learned the day before. We kept seeing shrines, but in those shrines we saw the will of a people to survive and live, to prosper. And I thought to myself on many occasions, you know, if this was anywhere else in the world, you'd have Discovery Channel, National Geographic, right there, doing exposés. You'd see all kinds of people getting out there and exploiting what we had found. He said, it's time for us to exploit it. It's time for us to exploit in a good manner, to take the lessons that we found in Armenia and provide it to the world. It was interesting. This morning, I walk every morning and I listen to a variety of podcasts myself, which I hope you're listening to the next step as part of your variety of podcasts. But on my phone, I have podcasts that come in, and I subscribe to quite a few different things, different genres, to science, actually to Car Talk, one of my favorite ones, Car Talk. And of course, there's a spiritual venue there as well. And among them, I have Joel Osteen, very, very popular preacher here in the States. And, it's just good stuff. He makes you feel good. You know, and sometimes you need to feel good. But this morning, I was feeling good. I was getting ready for the seventh year podcast, and I was ready to start off the show. And I wasn't in the mood to listen to Joel Osteen. You know, I was really going to shoot for Tech Talk, Leo Laporte, you know, kind of find out what's going on in the tech world right now. Or I was going to listen to something else. There's TED Talks that I like listening to as well. But I said, let me see what Joel has today, because, you know, on your smartphone, you have the ability to get the latest podcast. And I looked at the titles. Guess what the title is? The newest one. It's called The Seventh Year. Whoa. Let's see. It's dated 7/16, yesterday's date on it. So it's a brand new one. It's the seventh year. I said, I got to listen to this. So I listened to it. To him on my walk today, and it was exciting. We're at the seventh year, and he was talking about the opportunities that there are in the seventh year based on some of the promises made to God in the Old Testament. And you those of you who have been following me know that I'm not really a big Old Testament fan, but it clicked. Okay, so I listened to that, and then still on my walk, I said, okay, that was great. You know, I it just kind of fit in perfectly. You know, we're starting the seventh year, and he's talking about the seventh year. Then I turned to TED Talk, the TED Radio Hour podcast. What do I find there? Peering into space. Okay, I love peering into space. And I'm listening to what the man's saying. What are they talking about? Talking about 1929, when Hubble talked about the expanding universe. And whoa, what do you know? Here's another podcast. What do we say at the beginning of the show? Apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. So they were talking about that, how Hubble in 1929 talked about the expanding universe. And up until then, people had thought, well, what we see, what we perceive out there, the known galaxy is basically the universe. And he's talking about a universe that is expanding. And the talk was that within the future, and I gotta say, the distant future, we're talking about millenniums, we're talking about millions of years going by, but at some point, it will be, the universe will expand in such a way so that when you peer out into space, you will not see the rest of space, but you will only see black space. So imagine this, and this was very interesting. He challenged me to think in this way, and it was really a revelation for me. Imagine millions of years from now, people sitting on this planet, looking up into space, and not seeing anything beyond our own galaxy. And according to the traditions of that day, they will speculate that the universe is really our galaxy. There's nothing beyond it, right? And suppose records have been preserved for those millions of years, and they get records from our times where we're talking about expanding universe. They will just look at it and say, oh, there's a backward civilization. There's a group of people that didn't know what they were talking about. There's a group of people that were living in the Dark Ages, when they thought the universe was expanding. Because after all, we're looking up and we only see black space. Many times we do that. We look at old things and we say, oh, those people can't know what we're doing. We are the sophisticated people. We are the people who are figuring out how life works. What could they know? What could they have known? I mean, after all, they're just living in these villages. They didn't have science. They didn't have technology. They just looked up at the stars. And they thanked God. They just looked around and they said that you have to have faith. They saw dire situations and they said that there must be hope. What could they know? They didn't have the power. They didn't have the military might. But we found something that they do know, that they did know and they do know today. And that's what we're presenting to you on this seventh year of The Next Step.
Get ready, Apollo Esther. I whistle along on the seventh day. Whistle along on the seventh day.
So here's what we're going to be doing this year. We're going to be looking at a very special group of people, a very special land, and we have 3 weeks of stories that are going to be just fountains of inspiration. Trust me on this one, okay? That I'm going to be sharing with you as we go on. I'm planning another trip in a few months, in October, to do some even more intense research, because this trip, or part of this trip, was spent with pilgrims, a group of people that were just wonderful to be with, and we went from place to place in rather a fast manner. We need to go and inspect and survey the area, really absorb some of the area. And we're going to be going back in a couple months and coming back with even more, I believe, fresher material. But for right now, what I want to do in the next few weeks is share with you some of the experiences that we had, some of the means by which people are articulating their lives. A group of people has found a means by which peace can be attained in a very unusual manner. You're going to have to go out from beyond your bounds, outside of the box, but it's going to be great stuff that's coming your way. But there are three things that I want to share with you today. Three things that were very, very clear in my mind. And some of this may or may not matter to you, but I need to get it out on record. It became so clear to me after this trip. The Armenian Church, and what I talk about as Armodoxy, in other words, the Armenian Orthodox faith that is expounded by the Church, and the Armenian Church itself, unequivocally was responsible for the formation of Armenian identity as we know it today. The Armenian Church formed, it fed, and cultivated, and defended the Armenian identity. Now you say, what are you talking about? Now the church, spirituality, and you're talking about Armenian ethnic identity? Well, in this sense, okay? The church has had and has one unique mission, the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that gospel, we find faith, hope, and love. And it's articulated through resurrection. That resurrection is a means by which we find the hope for tomorrow. It is a way by which we find life. We see the light. We find faith in things that we cannot believe. In hitting those harmonics that are impossible, that are not on the violin string, but are able to manifest themselves in the world in which we live in. And in so doing its mission, somehow a group of people have been defined. Christianity is part and parcel of the Armenian image. Beyond the formation of the alphabet, obviously, the alphabet of the Armenian people, which gave rise to the culture, to the cultural writings. Okay, I mean, that's just A plus B equals C. I mean, it's so obvious. The language was created for one sole purpose, so that the gospel could be presented in the language of the people. And because we had a language, all of a sudden people started writing, and the culture started being formed. But the purpose of that language, the purpose of that alphabet, was one: to get the message of Jesus Christ out to the people. And as a result of that, a culture flourished. But I'm not talking about the formation of the alphabet. But there was volumes of literature, of culture that came out of the church, including many scientific discoveries, which we start thinking about Galileo, we start thinking about the universe as we know it right now, that it wasn't a solar-centric universe. These were things that were shown by the Armenians way before modern civilization, way before the Europeans found it. But through the monastic system, the church provided for the defense of the homeland. For instance, at Datevank, there was a room where Karakin Nijde strategized against and fought the enemy. This was a military hero who all of a sudden was finding his inspiration through the church. And, you know, in the weeks to come, I'm going to share with you so many of these stories, including the monastery where we find Sayat Nova, one of the heroes of the, not just Armenian music, but all of Middle Eastern music. And few people know it, but the last 20 years he spent in a monastery. There I stood at that same monastery, looking out at the scene that he saw, the serenity that he saw, and the peace that he found in his heart. So that's number one. The Armenian church unequivocally was responsible for the formation of the identity of the people. Number two, the Armenian church is not a small, what I call a corner gig. Here in Glendale, I'm on a corner over here, and sometimes people think, because we always say that, you know, the Armenian church is not just the building, but it's the people, and we do so much outreach programs out of this church. But it's not about just a small little place. It is universal. It is beyond the services it renders to the people. In other words, the Armenian church is not about liturgies, baptisms, marriage, and funerals only. But there is spirituality and mysticism that flourishes in the past and is now unfortunately dormant. And that's what's calling me to not only find it, but to share it. In that mysticism, I'm understanding what so many people played around with through the centuries. It is a connection with the universe in a very real and complete sense. It remains for me, and through this next step, we're going to be unraveling that, to discover not only what those mystics found, but also how they found it. That's a lonely place, and that's why I'm very thankful that you're there listening to this. Finally, the third point that is very clear, land is important. Land is holy. The land is mystical and it holds the key to the puzzle. You can take the Armenian church and its people to some of the most mystical spots on earth. You can take the Armenian church and people and form massive congregations. For instance, in New Mexico, right? Beautiful land. That's holy land. In the midst of tranquility, sunshine, and guess what? There's no Turks around there. Yet it will not make complete sense. The land in Armenia, from Artsakh to Ararat to the other side of Ararat, is holy and sacred. It requires a connection. And that's what I want to do. I want to provide you that connection through these podcasts. You can't be whole until you connect with this land. A great church leader named Kharimyan, Mgrdich Kharimyan. He was a Catholicos of all Armenians. He came from the city of Van. He wrote a beautiful piece in which he addresses his tornik, his grandson. And it is figuratively to the Armenian people. He says, you need to be connected to that land, otherwise you will die. Big words right now. Trust me, where we're going to be going, these words will make sense. And whether you're Armenian, you're not Armenian, this is not about an ethnic game. This is about finding something so real in this world that has been hidden for so many centuries. And once you find it, it is like what Jesus says. It is like that small little pearl, where that man goes out there in search of the ideal pearl. And once he finds it, he sells everything that he has, just so he can have it. Is there something so beautiful? I'm going to share that with you. That's what Next Step Season Number 7 is going to be all about. Well, we traded in the big grand piano for a horn section right now. Yeah, they're all in here right now. And here is Susie to tell you how you can get involved in a new way.
Thanks, Father Bosgen. Hi, this is Susie once again to thank you for your heartfelt prayers and support for this ministry. Since 2008, we have been broadcasting every week and distributing these broadcasts free of charge. We are now in the seventh year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The Next Step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Wow, who are all those guys? I think we got to rethink this, huh? Maybe bring back the piano. Wow, what a section. And it's all the ashes, too. I mean, heavy smokers, too. Anyway, Susie did fill you in on how you can get involved. It's really simple. You pray for us. And those prayers have gone a long way. When I think about how we started off back in 2008, we were just sitting there with a small little dream and a little Macintosh computer and saying, is this ever going to happen? And we did it, I think, for several months on that Mac until we learned that there was power in those PCs. And we went over, we moved over. But it was thanks to your prayers and through your donations, we were able to upgrade our equipment. And throughout the years, in 7 years, we've gone through quite an evolutionary process in podcasting. We've learned how to podcast rather efficiently, if I do say so myself. We can do it remotely. We used to all get together in this one little room. And Ken, if I remember right, remember there was that glass that was there, which was pretty filmy by the likes of Ken. But we went over to some remote operations. We were able to do our podcast from different areas. And we're looking forward to podcasting from Armenia, actually, in the coming months. So we're going to be doing all kinds of stuff, but it's made possible through your prayers and through your donations, through your generosity. And I appreciate each and every one of you who writes to us, who shares with us your comments. Most importantly, the best thing that you can do is share this podcast. If you find value in it, do share it with others. Take a moment to forward the link to other people. Write a few lines. Tell them what you think about it. And also tell us what you think about it. You can get in touch with us at feedback@epostle.net. We are looking forward to a really beautiful year, this seventh year. And it's not only going to be limited to podcasts. Actually, we're working on a proposal right now that will take in some different multimedia experiences into the Armenian Orthodox Armadox experience. We're going to be talking about that, and we invite you to get involved not only with this podcast but at our website and of course on our Facebook page. You can follow me, you can follow Epostle Susie, all kinds of stuff that's happening out there. Please do get involved with us. Listen, I'm going to call it a day for today. I hope I gave you more than a tease today so that you will be following us. It's going to be a great, great year. It's going to open our eyes and our hearts and our souls to a magic that is out there, a magic that you cannot believe. Listen, I came back from this pilgrimage transformed, and I know that there is only one thing that I need to do at this point is to share with you the spiritual wealth that we have right now, the spiritual wealth that is based on the teachings and life of Jesus Christ as expressed through the Armenian Orthodox faith through Armadoxy. So I'm inviting you for faith, hope, and love. And I'm talking about in its entirety. You're going to get the whole enchilada. We were looking for Dolma. You're going to get the whole Dolma, okay? You're going to get the whole thing over here. So please do join us. With that, we call it a day. I thank you for joining us. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, Vahe, our webman, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off Balan Top Minutes.